This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yes, indeed. Welcome on into our special edition of Sports Talk. We're here at the Rouse's Market, 2233 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma, as we get ready for Thanksgiving. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Louisiana sweet potato, folks, just 23 cents a pound right now. Save 76 cents per pound. Want to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line right off the bat, guys. We got some folks hanging on before we get to Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us after the first break. Longshoreman is what? On the line. What you got for us this Thanksgiving, Longshoreman?
What's up, Longshoreman?
Hey, Mike, Cajun Cannon, Steve Geller, man. Look, first and foremost, I want to go ahead and wish y'all a happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. And y'all keep it safe, Bobby.
Well, yeah, we're keeping it safe. I can tell you what, I'm glad I got to see you, that you showed up at the Silver Slipper. You made my night. You look good.
It's always my pleasure to hang out with you boys.
Longshoreman, here's the best part. We got Joey Vining over here to be a bodyguard for both of us. How about that?
Oh, y'all got Joey over there with y'all?
Joey over
with?
Here.
Yeah, we got the all Silver right. Slippers hey, representing Joey's here at home. Yeah. Hey, listen, we're so popular.
Nomad, huh?
Well, you know how when you play music, Longshoreman, they follow you. Well, they kind of follow us on tour. You know, we're kind of on tour.
Well,
we're going from Hancock County to Terrebonne Parish.
Yeah, well,
and we did two for one today.
Maybe one day if I get big enough, I can be y'all's opening act.
Well, I don't know if we're that good. I've heard you play live.
No, you solo, man.
Hey, no. And Longshoreman, I'm proud of you. You getting to go do a gig in Nashville. Maybe you might hit the big time.
Well, the next song I'm recording, I'm going to record it with my son. So it'll be late January, and hopefully that'll come out good. I was kind of curious. Did you get a chance to listen to that song I sent you?
No, I didn't get a chance yet, but I am. Listen, I got it on the phone. I got so many text messages to look at everything.
There
but,
you go.
Longshoreman, I'm going to listen. I promise I'll listen to it. But I tell you what, you know, once you make it in New York, make it anywhere.
Yeah, you got to still call us.
And Longshoreman makes it in Nashville. If you make it big time, don't be like big time in us now that you won't talk to us anymore. So.
Bobby, I don't know, man. Look, I never like to say never, but I probably missed that ship a long time ago. But I'm just enjoying myself doing what I do right now. And if something ever happens with a song like that, shoot, I'll take anything I can get. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I can't wait to go up there and record that song with my son late January. I'll be up there for about 4 or 5 days. We're going to record another one, maybe two if I'm lucky. But anyway.
Are you optimistic about the game on Sunday against the Rams or what?
I am. I think,
oh, you are? That's a good thing. Well, that's good.
That's one of three of us.
I mean, I like what I'm seeing with this coach. I mean, I just see what he's a motivator. I think he's got under this team and they behind him. And it just seems like a better fit, and they look like they're working hard for him. And I just, you know, hope that this O-line will continue to trend in the right direction. They look a little bit better. Great to have the main missing piece back in the center in McCoy. So I think that's a big step right there.
One thing with Longshoreman, Bobby and I have talked about this. I'm not worried about the Saints' offense this week. Man, it's the defense.
Yes.
How are you going to match up against Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp? And if you don't get pressure on Matt Stafford, he's one of, you know, I always tell this to Steve, he's one of the elite passers in this game.
No
doubt. He is at the top level. If you give him time to throw, he's going to pick you apart.
Well, and if we have a chance to win in the fourth quarter, win the game. If it's one score and we up by 5 points, don't give up a touchdown. Or if, we're up by a field goal, kind of like how we closed out as of late in the Coach Rizzi. But don't be where, we were right there to win the game. We didn't finish the game. And we're talking about playing the Rams, giving up explosive plays. Longshoreman. I said this last night. The Saints, they've still allowed way too many explosive plays. And that was, again, an issue the last time we saw the Saints play against the Browns. Even though we won 35-14, the Browns had five plays that went for at least 20 yards.
Yikes.
And we all remember the 89-yard touchdown from Jameis Winston to Jerry Jeudy. We can't have that against the Rams. If that happens against, I'm telling you, we will not win. You got to make them go on those 12, 14 play drives. Maybe you're bending, then you force a field goal. But we can't give up those chunk plays. But, Mike, and I said this last night, this has to change. I don't know how you make it change considering that your two best cornerbacks aren't playing. Marshawn Lattimore is now with the Washington Commanders. Paulson Adebo is out for the year. But you look at the Saints so far this year, whether it's Coach Allen or Darren Rizzi, the Saints have allowed seven plays of 50-plus yards this season. It's tied for a league high.
Seven?
Seven.
Seven. That means we dead last. We're a league high. We're 32. And last season, the Saints had allowed only three such plays.
Wow.
So
you've
more
season,
than doubled that.
Yes. The whole season. Right now, we already have given up seven. So that's what I look at, like chunk plays, splash plays, explosive plays, however you describe it. That's what happened in the Eagles game. Think about it. We have about five. Keep the ball in front of you. No, we ran into each other.
And Dallas and Goddard.
Goddard's running fire. Down the side. No, that's what we got to avoid. That's my nightmare. That's what keeps me up at night.
The one thing, to give up the big run to Saquon.
Oh, no, Saquon, right.
Because of who he is.
And you see him do that in other games.
My thing is, Dallas Goddard, I mean, how many people is he out running on a football field?
And I look at that film and who ran into who and all that. I need him to progress more. We thought Jordan Howden. Jordan Howden, you got to have your head on a swivel. You got to have peripheral vision. He's running downhill and knocking down his own players. What are you doing? No, that's why we need Jordan Howden. He's a young draft pick. We need him to work out at safety. Listen, the Saints safety's not to write home about because Honey Badger's getting older. He's not the Honey Badger at LSU. But the one thing? I know the Saints safeties are better than LSU safeties. I know that.
No, thank you, Bob. That's not a big jump up.
The two local teams who both have problems with our safety.
And the guy from Marcus May, he got cut by the Dolphins.
Right.
Yeah.
Think of that. Yeah. Marcus was a starter here.
Right.
And he gets cut.
Hello.
Dolphins.
I'll tell you, who do we have? Marcus Williams and then Malcolm Jenkins. That was the last time we really had a consistent duo of safeties. I'm telling you.
Taking a break here. We got the Rouse's Market, 2233 Martin Luther King Boulevard. You can stop by and say hi in Houma. Shop and save at Rouse's. We've got fresh, wild, local Gulf oysters for your dressings and casseroles. Just stop by, $11.99 per pint. We're going to take a break. Be right back. And coming back, we'll talk to NFL Odyssey insider Mark Schlereth after the break here on WWL. Welcome back into our special edition of Sports Talk here at the Rouse's Market, 2233 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma, folks. We're now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. Mark, how you doing today, man? Getting ready for Thanksgiving and plenty of football.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm doing great, man. I'm trying to trudge back through the streets of New York, back to my apartment. Just picked up my boards for my game this weekend. So, it's a beautiful, beautiful evening here in New York. About 55 degrees and not too windy, so it's actually nice.
And, Mark, looking at the game last night, I'm always intrigued. We have the Mannings in Louisiana. And when you have any, at the highest level, whether, you're playing in pro ball, or father or son, but like brother to brother. The question, do you have any younger brothers or older brothers or what?
No, I have an older sister, but, no brothers. But, obviously, you know how it is, Bobby, when you play, man. It's every guy on the team's your brother. So, it's always fun to see guys I played with, like Terry Orr's son, is the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens. So to see, guys that you played with and their sons doing well and that kind of thing, guys that were playing and now they're coaching when you played, it's fun to keep track. And it's one of the things I love when I go call a game. The first thing I do is I look at that coach's roster and see, who's my guys. And inevitably, there's always either a guy you played with or a guy you played against. And it's always fun to catch up with those guys at practice or on the field before the game and just reminisce and tell a bunch of lies about how good you guys were back in the day.
And you know, Stink, the reason why I bring that up, because I have two younger brothers, and I was always the older brother, and I always take the approach, just do what I say so I won't beat you up. And then I'm looking at John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. So John's now 3-0 against Jim. And Jim will say the right thing. You know, they'll both publicly say the right thing. But you look at the passion there. You know that it has to eat up Jim, the competitive nature and spirit that he has. It's, damn, I want to beat my big brother. But he ain't been able to get the best of John Harbaugh. Now, John Harbaugh's had the better teams, I think, overall. But that's intriguing. Boy, if I'm Jack Harbaugh, their dad, well, how proud can you be considering where they're at?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And they're both such good guys. And, you know, John has become a good friend of mine. And it's really fun just to watch them compete. And, you know, they both believe in the same things. They both believe in control line of scrimmage. They both believe in having a fullback, you know, and both their fullbacks are former defensive linemen that are, you know, 6'4" and 315 pounds. So it's just fun to watch the kind of the throwback nature with which they play. And this is one of the cool things for me, you know, and it reminds me of football when I played in the late 80s, early 90s, is teams that understand how to run the football. Like, there are three things that always tell the truth: small children, physicality in the run game, and yoga pants. Like, 100% of the time, those things tell the truth. And, like, you run the ball and you're physical, especially in today's game when everybody, you know, linebackers are 215 pounds. And, you know, and, I mean, you play with Vaughn Johnson and some of the beasts that you guys had on that Saints team. They were ridiculous, right? And, you know, I mean, Sam Mills is a tiny little dude, but good, a really good football player. But, yeah, it's just like you get teams that are going to go small and play dime and play nickel. Man, like, our theory was always, like, Mike Shanahan, when I played in Denver, would be truly offended if somebody tried to play us in a too high safety look. I mean, to the point where he would be dropping F-bombs. You believe the audacity of that they think they can line up with two high safeties sitting with their heels at 14, you know, and I mean, he would be livid. And, you know, I mean, we just were like, oh, that's how you're going to play? You're about ready to get your ass kicked, you know? And so to see kind of Jim and John and have that philosophy, that stuff is fun to me. That's the way football should be.
Oh, and Stink, when you look at it, proof's in the pudding. Usually it's a quarterback award, MVP. But who's better than King Henry, Derrick Henry, or Saquon Barkley? You want to just look
nobody,
where the Eagles
nobody.
And the Ravens are at, right? Going downhill.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, nobody's better than those guys. I mean, I hate the fact. Listen, man, I goof around all the time, but I hate the fact that the Heisman and the MVP have become quarterback awards. There's nobody that's been more valuable to their team than Saquon has to his team, or Derrick Henry. Like, you know, I mean, one of the things we'll sit there and tell you about the Baltimore Ravens, look at the games they've lost. It's the games where they haven't handed it to Derrick Henry and they've thrown it 35, 40 times. They lose those games. When they hand it to Derrick Henry, they win. So you're telling me that the potential MVP of the league is the MVP of the Baltimore Ravens only when you mitigate and eliminate 10, 12, 15 of his throws and give it to a running back. How are you the MVP? How are you the MVP if the case is we have to split the reps because you guys don't win when we don't? You're not. The answer is you're not. It's King Henry. It's Saquon Barkley. You know, I rest my case.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stink.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at Rouse's or your local grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Mark, one of the things I'll piggyback off of what you and Bob were talking about, in watching the Packers and the 49ers, the Packers ran the football 42 times. against them. 26, Josh Jacobs, he rushed for 106 yards.
He's a beast.
And they only threw the football 23 times. My thing about it is, man, the Packers are now trying to gain that identity that they can run the football. And what has happened to the 49ers defense? They can't stop the run now at all. And they targeted now. Teams are going to run the football right at them.
Well, and this thing, like Mike's saying, you look at the NFC North and that approach with the Packers. Well, who does it better right there? The Lions. Now look at Coach Campbell. Yeah. And even though they have Jared Goff, you don't think they want to run the ball? Come on. They're old school. Yeah. They're thinking like we thinking.
Yeah, no, there ain't no question. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, you sit and talk to Dan Campbell, and Dan Campbell, and I've asked him at this point blank probably four times because I've done a bunch of their games, and Dan's a friend. And I'm just like, who's the best football player on your team? Penei Sewell, without equivocation, without hesitation. Penei Sewell is the best player on my football team. Bar none, end of story, period, stop. And we're going to lean into that run game. We're going to lean into that physicality. We're going to beat people up. And when we beat people up, man, it opens up that passing game. It opens up, you know, that play-action game. It opens up the explosive plays. And, you know, you look at San Francisco, man, they haven't had that. They normally have that. They haven't had that. And they have suffered because they haven't been able to create those explosives. And, listen, man, I mean, when you run the ball, a lot of great things happen to you. One of the greatest things that happens to you is, man, you can take the passive out of pass protection. You can change sets. You can take a five-step drop that you know the ball is going to be out quickly on, and you can run. You can run it, block it. You can upkick it. And, you know, and then defensive linemen are like, you can't do that. And you're like, yeah, I can. I just did it. What do you mean I can't do it? Of course I can. And, like, so it again, it takes the passive out of pass protection. It lets you be the aggressor at all times. And I tell you, like you mentioned it, Green Bay, what they're trying to do and try to eliminate some of the turnovers that Jordan Love has had because he hasn't been judicious with the football enough. And, you know, you look at Jared Goff and the benefit of that, and even the Minnesota Vikings, man, you have to do that in today's game, I believe, to really have a chance to be a championship organization. And, you know, and that's what's going on in the NFC North, and it's pretty awesome to watch.
Well, Stink, now we all want to be entertained as fans. We love football, but like you're saying, the proof's in the pudding. Who's more entertaining than Joe Burrow and the Bengals? He might have 40 touchdown passes. He might not even make the playoffs. And you look at Ja'Marr Chase. Isn't that old fantasy? I love them. Oh, look at Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. I love Joe Burrow, but they don't. They ain't winning nothing. That's unbelievable to me. This day and age, Joe Burrow can have 40-plus touchdowns and they're not going to the postseason.
They might not have a winning season.
That's crazy to me, but yeah.
No, 100%, and it is, you know. And the other thing is they'll sit there and line up in, you know, in shotgun. They'll line up in gun 98% of the time. And – you know, what that does to your run game, what that eliminates the hard run action, play action, where you're turning your back to the defense. And, you know, and it eliminates probably 30-35% of your runs when you're not under center, when you're all in gun. And, you know, and it gives a tell to the defense. And the other thing that happens, and I've timed this on the app that I study football on. When you run plays out of shotgun, it takes about a half a second, about a 5/10, 4/10 of a second longer for the back to get to the line of scrimmage. So you also extend the time with which the offensive line has to hold a block by half a second. Like that doesn't help your running game either. So there's a lot of things about gun that I think is garbage. It serves its purpose and it's not going anywhere. So I understand that. But I don't believe that you can just live in it. And that's one thing that Cincinnati consistently does. They just live in gun. And I just think it's a mistake.
You know, Stink, because we're always intrigued with Sean Payton. Obviously, the stability that he brought here in a Super Bowl championship, him and Drew Brees. How are the fans in Denver? They're still taking the wait-and-see approach? Or are they embracing him right now? Because you look, okay, who's the hot young rookie? And as of late, it was Jane Daniels. Then you look at Bo Nix, what he's done as of late. Are they really excited about the combination of Bo Nix and Sean Payton in Denver?
Yeah, you know what? It's starting to come around. And, you know Sean can be bristly, you know. I mean, Sean loves himself some Sean, so he can be some – he can be bristly, you know, and he counts receipts and he keeps receipts. And so I happen to love that about Sean. But I think the jury was out, and there were a lot of, you know, a lot of Russ Wilson fans. I like to call them Rusties. That didn't think we should eat the $84 million and this, that, and the other, and didn't believe in Sean Payton. And, you know, I kept saying, mark my word, man, like, this is going to be so much better, and Russ was spent, and this, that, and the other, and nobody wanted to hear it. Well, right now, you know what, people are pretty excited about Sean Payton, pretty excited about Bo Nix and what the future holds for Bo Nix. So I'm telling you what, I feel vindicated to that regard, or in that regard, Ed. I think people are starting to really come around on Sean, because Sean is coaching his ass off. And ultimately, I think he's right there in the running for Coach of the Year. I mean, I think he has done a phenomenal job. Think about this now. Before the season started, they had Vegas had them at 5.5 was the over. And I told everybody who would listen to me, pound the over. They're going to be way better than that. You know, they're sitting at 7-5 right now. And then the other thing was, there were a bunch of publications, CBS Sports and NBC Sports and ESPN, that had them listed as the 31st or 30th best team, best roster. And I was like, just because you guys don't know the names don't mean they don't have a good roster. And defensively, they have been outstanding under Vance Joseph. He's been tremendous. Their O-line now is not giving up sacks, because Russ isn't taking 17 sacks a game anymore. And Bo Nix orchestrates that offense. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to see, and you guys know this, it's fun to see young guys that you didn't expect a whole lot out of develop, and right now, at this point of the season, all of a sudden becoming a really good player. Devon Vele has become a really good player. Mims is starting to show and starting to shine. They've got a bunch of young kids that, you know, are playing pretty well right now for Sean, and testament to his coaching.
You know what, Stig, I'm actually a Saints question here. Now, we follow, you know, you follow all the NFL. And I'll tell you, I'm not just on just stroking Derek Carr. David's his brother. I'm not just stroking Derek Carr. But Derek Carr throws as pretty a long ball as anyone in the NFL. I'm telling you, watch him, those 40, 45, 50-yard throws, how he could drop it in there. If they block for Derek Carr, I'm telling you, Derek Carr can throw a long ball.
Yeah, you know, he's a good rhythm thrower.
Yes, if they block it, the deep ball, he's very accurate. He puts enough height on all that, and look, Scantling comes in here. Valdez Scantling, all of a sudden, he's catching the ball for the Saints. You know, they're out there, top two receivers, yeah. When you're thinking about that, not having Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. But I'm telling you, sometimes, and I want to tell Saints fans, slow your roll. That I still think Derek Carr is not only going to be the quarterback for the Saints this year, but also next year, dealing with the salary cap. And if he has a good enough supporting cast, and I've told this, I played the position. You can't tell me if teams like the Buccaneers can win a Super Bowl with Brad Johnson, and then the Ravens can win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. If Derek Carr has the right people around him, I'm not saying he's carrying anybody. That's right. He could be a Super Bowl or a playoff-type quarterback. I truly believe that. He has enough experience. And now you might think I'm reaching out. But again, those two quarterbacks I mentioned, they're not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but they're Super Bowl winners. So a lot of times the quarterback gets too much glory or to blame, but the supporting cast, listen, a lot of times, oh, we need a good young quarterback. Oh, let's throw the Rattler out there. Let's throw Spencer Rattler out there. What is he going to do? We saw him when he put the backup quarterbacks. We had no chance, that being the Saints. And Derek Carr gives us a fighting chance. I don't know, from an outsider's think, well, what do you think when you look at the Saints in that regard?
Well, a lot of Saints fans are going to like what I have to say, because I'm a Derek Carr fan. And maybe call me an apologist, but I think Derek Carr is a damn good player. And you're 100% right when it comes to throwing the deep ball and what he's been able to do. Listen, man, that team was as hot and as good as any team in football. And, you know, that defense has gotten older, and they probably need to revamp some of that defense, you know, that defensive line and some of the players, and they've had some issues. But when that O-line was healthy and they were running the ball and they were doing their thing with Kamara, dude, the first couple of games of the season, man, the Saints – were really, I mean, they were humming, and Derek Carr was humming. And then that offensive line, you lose your center, you lose your guards, you lose players, you know, and then and the guys get hurt, and they're no longer effective. Man, I'm telling you, the position that struggles probably more than any other position in football, and this is, you know, the way the league is structured now, is offensive line. You lose an offensive lineman, one or two, you're screwed. Because the guys they keep now as backups have zero experience. The guys they keep as backups, you know, are they're trying to save money. They're playing rookies and first-year guys that they're not paying any money to, and they're trying to develop those guys. And it's a physical position where, you know, you're matched up against the guy that is a better athlete than you every time, and you're expected to win 100% of those battles. And like, you lose an offensive lineman, like, at any across the board, you lose one or two, you go from the penthouse to the outhouse, because the backups in this league can't play, and you don't get to practice anymore. You don't get to put pads on and practice that position. And, you know, I've always said, I always go back to Russ Grimm, my teammate, Hall of Famer with the Washington Redskins, in his retirement speech, or his Hall of Fame speech. He said, man, there's no greater skill in the world than moving a man from point A to point B against his will, and I believe it. Like, it's a hard thing to do, and it takes an incredible technique, and you lose a guy or two, and I'm sorry, you're screwed. This league, you're screwed. And, you know, they lost offensive linemen, they lost their center, and next thing you know, Derek Carr's taking shots in the ribs, and he's out, and the whole season falls apart.
And, you know, Stink, well, you've watched a lot of football like we all have, and I think you're old school enough because it's only happened a couple of times in history. You know, jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife, Taysom Hill. And I think if you're putting Frank Gifford in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you got to put Taysom Hill. Come on, he's blocked punts, he's run back kickoffs, he makes tackles. He could do it all. I tell you, you could put Taysom Hill in the box and develop him as a safety. He's that tough. And the reason why I said, well, Bobby, why haven't we heard of him in college? But he's a late bloomer. Why haven't we heard him or bring him young? Because he was hurt. He plays so aggressive, yeah. He hurts himself. But talk about hell when he's well. And Taysom Hill, as long as he's healthy, all I know, Coach Kubiak, that you can keep a defense off balance when you got Taysom Hill back there and he's playing five or six different positions.
Dude, I've had him in a bunch of different games. He's played seven. He's played X. He's played the F slot receiver. He's played the Z receiver. Okay, that's three. He's played the Y tight end. He's played the F tight end in the West Coast offense. So that's five. He's played the fullback. That's six. He's played tailback. That's seven. He's played quarterback. That's eight. The only thing he hasn't done is lined up a tackle. The guy is the most incredible, like you said, Swiss Army knife. I'm a huge fan. And the fact that the dude is 34 years old, like, I think of him as like, oh, has he been in the league 4 or 5 years? He's 34 years old. And, you know, when I called the game week one, they were telling me about his just overall strength. And you know, they have some type of monitoring system there. And he's the only guy on their roster. They have like 10 categories that they kind of monitor. He's a top, he was a top, you know, 4 or 5 guy in every category. He was a 10 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. He's the only guy in every category to rank in the top of each category. So the guy is a phenomenal athlete. He's a phenomenal football player, a great human being. And I love watching him play. I absolutely love it.
Mark, always love hearing from you, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks a ton for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Stink, I always tell you this. I love hearing you in the morning. You do a great job.
You wake him up, Mark.
Yes.
You did good.
I appreciate it, guys. Be well.
All right.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We're here at the Rouse's Market, 2233 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma. Make sure you stop by, say hey, as we get ready for Thanksgiving. Pick up all your needs here. We're going to take a break. Be back with more sports talk, though, right after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Yes, indeed. Enjoying our time here for a special edition of Sports Talk here at the Rouse's Market in Houma, 2233 Martin Luther King Boulevard. Reminding everybody, tonight you can catch the final Brian Kelly show of the season. What's the Tigers' strategy taking on Oklahoma, and what will Coach Kelly want to say about recruiting and next year's team after losing prize recruit Bryce Underwood to Michigan? Get the latest on the purple and gold tonight, 7 o'clock, WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We are taking a break right now and be back with more sports talk right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Closing out this hour of sports talk, folks, get ready for Saints taking on the Rams Sunday in the Caesars Superdome. Game day will start 11 a.m. with First Take, me and Jeff Nowak. Then at 1 o'clock, the Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert inside the dome. We're at the Loge level, Gate B atrium, presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Then kickoff 305 with Deuce and Hawes. Coming back, we'll talk more Saints right after this.